The Boy and the Frog Princess. Once there lived a boy. Every summer, his parents would bring him from the city to the village and leave him with his grandparents. In that village, there was a huge pond, and the grandparents, fearing the boy might drown, often frightened him.
"Just don't go near the pond, grandson. In its mud lives a very big frog. She'll catch you and pull you in. So you'll vanish, never having seen life."
The boy grew and over time became stronger. Influenced by such anti-frog propaganda, he hated frogs more and more. A bit later, he got braver and set out to beat them with a long stick. That summer, dozens of croakers were ambushed along the shores and met their end. But the big one still didn't come out to fight. The boy concluded that to lure out the big frog, he'd have to kill even more members of her gang. But it got harder and harder. Frogs started dodging the stick and later would dive and flee at the mere sight of their reaper. Then the boy crafted a bow from the hardest walnut wood and some strings and began shooting with it. Over several summers, he slaughtered terrifying multitudes of frogs, but the big frog still didn't come out to face him. One successful hunting evening, just as the boy was about to head home and was gathering up his arrows along the shore, next to one of them, a frog jumped onto a leaf and spoke in a human voice.
"Hello, boy. I am the Frogincess, and you've been caught now firing arrows in every direction without any responsibility. You will now be my husband."
The boy was very surprised to see a talking frog and replied that he didn't know anything and had only come to pick up a lost arrow. Then out of the swamp rose 12 large frogs, each the size of a big ox. In their hands, they held huge thudding reed clubs and declared threateningly in unison,
"We are 12 brothers of the Frogincess, with the Frogincess. If you do not marry our sister, you will insult her. And for that, we will split your skull like a watermelon and break your legs like corn sticks."
The boy was terrified and, falling to his knees, began to beg for mercy. The Frogginses listened to him and decided not to kill him right away, but instead to bring him before their father, the king, to sort situation out. At the palace, they recounted the events, how the arrow landed near the princess, and how, according to ancient traditions, that meant she would be his wife. The boy didn't want to marry because his grandfather had told him it was hell, so crying and humbled, he crawled around the king's paws for about an hour, promising to catch a cartload of flies and mosquitoes if only they'd let him go. At last, the Frog King relented and said,
"Fine, you may go free. In return, each summer we want a sack of flies and a few liters of blood for our mosquito farm. If you keep shooting arrows, you must tie whistles to them so my other daughters can hear them coming from afar and step aside to avoid production injuries from the fate whistling down from the sky. One daughter is enough for you. When you turn 30, then we'll hold the wedding. You must come visit me on a diplomatic mission, having by then become very wealthy and influential. For now, you're just a little snot-nosed beggar, unworthy of my daughter."
What else could he do? The boy agreed, for he saw how the princess's brothers, standing in the corner of the hall with glowing eyes, were already polishing their metal clubs and hammering nails into the wooden ones, imagining the moment of impending justice. The rest of the summer, he spent only chasing and catching flies and mosquitoes, and in the following summers, regularly donated blood. When the boy turned 18, the king allowed him to kiss his future wife, the frog, and she transformed into the most beautiful fairy tale princess the boy could ever imagine. From that moment, the boy, now a handsome youth, truly desired to marry her. By the time he turned 30, the young man had become the richest and most influential person in the human kingdom. And so came the day to go to the Frog King for the wedding. A great banquet was prepared in the palace. The tables were loaded with the tastiest flies, mosquitoes, and worms. For the groom and the princess, a feast suitable for humans was laid out, local and from distant lands. After dancing and singing in the evening, the princess said to him,
"It will soon be midnight. Go, prepare and warm the bed, and I'll come shortly."
The happy groom dashed off like lightning to the bedroom, undressed completely, crawled under the covers, and began waiting for a night sweet as honey. As soon as the clock struck 12, into the room burst the princess and her 12 frog-ince brothers with large clubs studded with nails. They dragged him out by his arms and legs, slammed him onto the ground, broke his spine, knocked out his teeth, and shattered all his bones. As the light dimmed in his eyes, the boy heard the angry voice of the princess.
"What? You thought no one would know or remember? You killed hundreds of my brothers and sisters and still expected I would marry you, suck with you at nights, and roll with you in bed. Why do you think we drained your blood every summer? So that you, frog basher snot, wouldn't have the strength to go on killing frogs. Everything you've gained and achieved in your life will now come to me and go to a fund to support the victims of your crimes."
And she pierced his heart with the very arrow he once hunted her with. And the moral of the tale, frog revenge is cold and calculated, just like their blood. Don't smash frogs, children.